Ask your questions. It's much the same as I used to ask my parish all the time. Ask the question you've always wanted to ask a priest, but were always embarrassed and afraid to. So you get questions.
Why do you wear black?
You know, things like that. So, but I'm going to encourage you to ask anything about Indigenous ministries. And there's no way you can embarrass me. There's no way you can offend me. People have tried. Believe me, they've tried. And so the only question that is silly, the only question that is stupid, is the one that you don't ask. Does that make sense? So I'm going to ask if there's any questions, and we'll go through some responses.
How do you navigate find a balance between the Christian idea of dominion over land and what I understand broadly is an indigenous understanding of mapping your life after the earth ways?
You have in your own lectures that have gone before here that you've talked about the doctrine of discovery, which is one of the colonial thoughts, and where it was put down through the papal bulls, that you, as representatives of the European countries, you have that right to lay claim to all the lands that are uninhabited by and that are not colonized. I'm trying to put it into simplistic language that I can actually say. There's no way I can sound like a pope. And at the same time, the colonial about, you know, especially about Terra Nullius, which talks about that uninhabited land, that where there's nothing on it. But it's always been inhabited. It's always been here. I read a report this morning about, you know, for example, that we are coming up to how many 150 years of celebration of Canada, right? And where the Indigenous people are saying, I can't celebrate. I can't celebrate 150 years because my people have always been here for over 15,000 plus years. How can I celebrate something that is colonial in its thought and colonial, which diminishes us as Indigenous peoples, that we are nothing? Even my own people, and you know, it's been 1960, 1964, the first time we were allowed to vote. Women, you were allowed to vote in 1922. As an Indigenous person, I became actually a human and a citizen of Canada, 1960, 1964. Before that, we didn't exist, or else if not that, we were less. In the same time, we were allowed to actually go off the reserve without permission. Before that, we had to have permission to leave the reserve. So the whole colonial thought about dominance, domination, and control is something that has to change, and it starts with us to recognize that we cannot control, dominate, or subdue people's land creation itself anymore. We need to work in harmony now. Work in harmony with creation, because that's the way it was meant. There's a prayer at the very end which I'll talk about a little bit once we're done here, and which talks about how we as people were told in the creation story that humanity was created last, and that God the Creator calls all of creation and says, take a look. This is humanity. This is man. This is woman. I created them last, which means that they're going to be weak. And they need to be cared for by all of you in creation. You look after them. You feed them. You clothe them. But recognize they are very powerful in their own right. They're very powerful in their prayers. I will hear every one of their prayers. So work with them, and they will work with you. It's important that we recognize that in creation, we have to find that balance. No more dominance, no more control, subduing and dominance, and tearing apart. We do that because we're greedy for something that which we can't have and keep. That's money. You ever tried to keep a $100 bill in your pocket for, say, two generations? Doesn't work. The most I've ever had was I used to marvel at, because I was, like I said, in control in of a corporation, in a company, And the largest check that I ever held in my hand was for $675,000 in my hand. And I spent it by buying two ambulances fully loaded. And I held it in my hand like this, and I went like this, and it was gone. And I thought, isn't that marvelous? I spent that money, that amount of money in that short a time, taking it out of my wallet, putting it into somebody else's hand, and gone. Money is nothing. Our world is all we have. And the most precious commodity is you. I don't know if anyone's ever told you that, how important you are. I've said this in many a sermon. There's only one of you. Did you know that? There's no one else, just you. That's how important and special you are. And God has a plan for you to do something wonderful in this created world. But you have to work in harmony with it. You can't dominate it because you are part of it. I don't know if I fully answered your question. I have in a roundabout way. Hopefully you've seen some of the... But yeah, when we talk about doctrine of all the colonial mentality, if you will, I'm going to sum it that way, the colonial mentality, it has a great challenge for us as peoples, as a faith. That's one of the reasons where we're working towards the repudiation of taking it back and saying, no, we can't do this. When we talk about UNDRIP, I really dislike that. The United Nations Declaration of Rights of Indigenous Peoples. About how we as peoples are recognized that we have rights too. It's sad that we have to take it to the UN to find this out. But Canada has been one of those ones that has been holding back and hedging on it for a long time. The rights of Indigenous peoples. And so that's something that we struggle and we fight for, of trying to see that all this land, and that's why I have this wonderful picture about the statement from Black Elk, that all the holy lands are everywhere.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify some points here. First of all, the land doesn't belong to us. We belong to the land. And the a colonial society asserted jurisdiction over indigenous lands and implemented a surrender of lands process known as treaties. And indigenous people on reserves were not allowed to vote until 1960. Unless they enfranchised, meaning they had to give up their Indian status. That they must renounce their native identity and become Canadian citizens. And that's what happened. That's what the TRC is all about. And 94 calls on reconciliation. Thank you.
Funny thing is, I brought my treaty card just in case anyone ever wanted to take a look at one. It's got an expiry date. Do you ever wonder about that? It's got an expiry date. Like, how does that happen? I'm not going to expire. That's when I'm done? But on that, and I think that's the way the government, and forgive me, please, if anyone's in politics here for the federal, provincial government, I love you, but I believe at the same point in time, that's the government's way of saying, we control you. We can pull it back anytime. There's a challenge for us.
Thank you, Reverend Chris. I really appreciate your story tonight. And my name is Veronica. I'm a parishioner here, and I've done some Indigenous rights activism with some of my friends, and one of which was a fire just over here during National Aboriginal Day last year, which was June 20th, 21st, and we stayed until the 22nd. And I am so excited to hear about what's coming up and the feeling of change in the air. And I feel like I need a lot of help in what I'm doing, and I feel like I will get the kind of help I need by helping you. And so I'm going to offer my volunteer time for you because I'm right here with you. So I guess on the points that were just being made, it's really important for us to contemplate what the crown means in Canada and how we're stepping away from a colonial mindset. So we also have to step away from certain significant symbolic colonial realities in Canada. Now, I personally am not a Republican, so that's for a different conversation. But how we relate as a nation to the nations that are Indigenous to this land, it is about our everyday interactions. But eventually those everyday interactions have to also be represented by the people who are representing all of us. And so if there is going to be a head of state that actually can uphold treaties, first of all, restore right relations, it's going to take all of us actually contemplating that and looking at what the head of state position actually is.
That's one of the reasons I talked about how important it is. We have to fully commit. We can't go halfway and say that, you know, everything's going to be fine then. But we have to commit fully in thought, word, and deed. And so that this way we are totally invested in the changes that are going to be happening ahead of us.
So my status card also has an expiry date on it. But what troubles me more than the expiry date on my status card is that my right in my family to claim status ends with my children. And I do not know why I should answer to a federal government what right they have to make that choice. If someone else has a history, my other side of me is from Scotland. You're always going to be that. But how come my great-grandchildren will not be Indigenous in any way?
The government has been working. I don't know if anyone's ever... I'll give it to you now. You can do a little bit of research on it. There's the call to the 1969 White Paper. Has anyone ever heard about that one? The 1969 White Paper basically states that in it that Pierre Elliott Trudeau, Jean Chrétien, that they worked towards drafting this up that would basically eliminate the Indian within 15 to 20 years. And part of those policies were the C-31, we call it Bill C-31, which basically says that if you're as a man or a woman, that if you marry off the reserve, a non-Indigenous, that your children now lose their status as a full treaty status. They're now C-31. If they marry somebody that is non-treaty, their children are there's no Indianness left in them. The Americans, what they've done in the United States is that they have what's called blood quantum. Blood quantum and how Indian you are to how much you are recognized as an Indian person. If you want to take one more mark of offense, this is, you know, I really dislike doing this, but this number is who I am to the federal government as much as you are. Do we know of any other governmental process in where they put a number on an individual? To the federal government, I am 344-00-783-01. My wife is 02. Do I stand offended? Can I be offended? Something to ponder.
Okay, I'm going to make... this is going to be a long, rambling question, so please bear with me. First of all, I just wanted to make the observation that without being able to fully engage with the idea of putting a number to someone, for instance, in the past 6 months, there's been a change to Ontario Works, where if you want to communicate with your caseworker, you should identify with your number.
Your social insurance?
No, you have a number. But, you know, if you're leaving a message, you should leave the number so it's you're identified that way. So I, without fully being able to engage with what it must feel like to be attributed a number, we still do that.
Yeah.
You mentioned feeling like you're in no man's land. I've been reading a lot on World War I lately, and one thing that strikes me is that there's really good instances of humanity being shown.
Absolutely.
Christmas time, I think it started with singing from soldiers on one side, and then on the other side, they were so close, actually, that they were like, they were listening to the singing, and they shouted, encore, encore. And then eventually at Christmas time, this is really famous, there was an exchange. So actually World War I, as horrible as it was, it became a vehicle for a lot of positive change. Now I'm actually coming to the question. I have a question here. Next summer, the summer coming up, there's going to be a celebration, a big celebration of Parliament Hill for 150 years of Dominion of Canada. Without, clearly everyone in this room will have different, political views. It's a very personal thing. But do you think there's anything that the ministry can do to highlight the fact that it seems highly insensitive that the government will be spending so much money to celebrate 150 years of the Dominion of Canada, which, I am proud to be a Canadian. However, I'm not proud of every aspect of our history. And one of the aspects where I feel like we've started to try to redress things is our relationship with Indigenous peoples. Is the ministry planning on doing anything in terms of advocacy to highlight the fact that at the same time as the government's going to be celebrating this, there's hundreds of thousands of people living on native reserves, as you surely know from firsthand experience, far more than I do, don't have access to clean drinking water. And is there any way to be involved in that?
I believe what's going to be coming up for the 150 years is what's going to be doing is they'll make an acknowledgement in there, and they'll be working towards building some kind of a gesture, if you will, of that the government also acknowledges the endurance and the peoples that were here before. I think this is one of those realities that will be put forward by the federal government. I always marvel at everybody when they feel that their government has let them down, that they voted. There was a beautiful little statement that was put in on Facebook, and I'm going to borrow it, and it says, no matter who you vote for, the government always gets in. Just something to think about, so this way you're not too let down. Question.
I may not need this, but anyway, a comment before my question. Of course, officially, it is the 150th anniversary of Confederation.
Yes.
But perhaps it is the corporate and media fake with a K-E news that is celebrating the 150th birthday of Canada.
Right.
So there are two factors there. My question to you is, when you go to different First Nations community centers or activities, is there flexibility to offer to say a few prayers? So in other words, rather than as a first step trying to bring the First Nations to our Anglican Church, is there flexibility in their centers throughout our whole diocese for you to say, I'm going to say a few prayers if you'd like to join us or whatever?
The easy, quick answer is yes.
Good.
The more complicated
Good.
Answer is no. I had my induction here at St. James, in which Reverend Lee, God bless you, for participated in that, which had honored me incredibly. Way back, probably about close to 15, maybe 17, I can't remember how many years ago, Andrew Wesley, who I follow in his footsteps, he was ordained over at Church of the Redeemer. Church of the Redeemer was one of the first churches I had ever experienced in my life where on that service they brought in a drummer and who sang an honor song and an eagle song for him. They smudged. I smelled sweet grass burning in the church, and an eagle feather was raised as a drummer was drumming. I'll be honest with you, I cried because I didn't think I could live long enough in my life to see that in a church. And I got to see it just a couple weeks ago here at St. James for my induction. Things are happening. Things are changing. It's glorious. You talk about doors opening. Of course they're opening. We are in a time of change right now, and I hate to put this fear into you, but we are in a time of change which is going to challenge each and every one of us.
I just wanted to ask you if there is much use of the National Indigenous Ministries materials, gospel-based discipleship, and if this is not a way for all of us to pray together. The church is always praying. We have the offices. But if we join together with using that lectionary cycle and using that prayer book, I wonder whether that's a way for us all to pray together.
Indeed, it's a start. It's a start. Bishop Mark and he and one of his best friends were able to utilize and incorporate the gospel-based discipleship and into a beautiful little handheld booklet that which could be taken and utilized for all the church seasons. And you can get those through the main church office at the Anglican Church of Canada on, oh, goodness sakes, I forgot what street it was. Hayden. Yeah, on Hayden. And as long as I know where I live, I think that's a good start right now. But go check with them, and if you want to utilize, and that is something. Now, you know, unofficially, I think I've got a little bit of a challenge ahead of me because I realize that, and I haven't said it anywhere else yet but here, but there has to be some way of reaching out to the Indigenous peoples, and I think in their own context, and I'm wrapping things up right now, and that means their own ministry. And I want you all to know that there is no... there's no one checking your status cards as you enter into the church, as you enter into the worship space. But instead, all people will be embraced because, after all, we're in this together, and this is the world. Our prayers are powerful, for the Creator God listens to every word. And I said that in that creation story. Remember to pray and believe in the purpose and call that you have been called to and meant to be. Children of creation, children of our God, our Creator, walking in love, honesty, respect, truth, courage, wisdom, and humility before and with all of creation. So in closing, a prayer as spoken by Chief Yellowhawk of the Sioux. O Great Spirit, whose voice I hear in the winds and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear me. I am small and weak, and I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes ever to behold the red and purple sunsets. Make my hands respect the things that you have made and my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise so that I may understand the things that you have taught my people. Let me learn the lessons that you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength not to be superior to my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes, so when life fades as a fading sunset, my spirit will come to you without shame. The beauty of the night is upon us. The beauty starts with you, my brothers and sisters, my relatives. All of you have a message now to go out with, a hope of better things to come on the horizon in the morning of tomorrow. But it starts with you and the changes that start here. Be peace, because peace starts with you. Be open of heart and mind and wise to see other people for who they are in the spiritual journey that they have been on. Respect them, honor them, and be humble. Live in truth. The hardest person to be true is to yourself. Don't be an idealist. Been there, done that. Doesn't work. But instead, live in love.